the Lord is in this place.
Yeah, keep playing, please. I like everyone to close your eyes. I think we know the song now. You can go and put your books down. If you don't, just try to follow along. But I'd like us to really believe what we're saying here. That we're not here to see one another. We came to see Jesus Christ. And don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what we got to do today. Envision Jesus Christ standing right in front of you. And remember what He's done for you. When we think of when we were sick and He came by and healed us. When we were lonely, He came by and been our friend. And we are in His presence this morning because He said, wherever two or three were gathered, He would be here. So He shows up. We have to believe Him. Let's sing this again with all our hearts, our hand raised, saying, Lord, we love You. Let's sing that again right at the beginning.
Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel.
Oh, you feel His power this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord.
Oh, one more time. Let's sing that with all our hearts now. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles together this morning. It's good to feel the Spirit of God come down like that. It makes me feel ready to preach the Word. Because without Him being here, there ain't no reason to read this Bible. Anybody could read this Bible. It takes the Holy Spirit to come and to show us what it means to us. Amen. I hope you came expecting to hear from God this morning, because I believe God's going to speak. It's up to us to listen. Revelation chapter 6. Continue on in the seals this morning. Try to backdrop a little bit, knowing that some haven't been hearing things, to make sure we're all as much on the same page as possible. I'm going to read down there at the sixth seal, starting at Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree is casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a humbling scripture to read this, knowing, Lord, that you couldn't let sin go on forever, but you had to judge it and you had to stop sin. And that's what we're going to get into this morning, this sixth seal of judgment for those that will be left here after the rapture has happened. Lord, we don't want to identify with that group this morning. We believe you've come, and in your mercy, you've given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I pray if there's one soul here that hasn't received it, I pray that this service, Lord, there would be a change. There would be a sealing take place. There'd be a new birth in that life, Lord, where they wouldn't have to try to be a Christian. It would be the life that's within them living. Father, I pray that every soul here would be equipped for this hour. For as we study these things, Lord, it makes me tremble to know what's going to happen to this world. People think they know how bad it's going to get. They don't have a single clue, Lord. But you've shown us in the Word what's going to happen. It's going to be so bad, Lord, that people would rather have rocks fall on them and smash them and kill them than to experience what they're experiencing. Oh, Father, help us to weigh it in the balance this day. Help us to redeem the time this morning. Father, forgive us, Lord, of our many shortcomings. Take it far away from us, Lord. By the blood of Christ, we pray it would be all under the blood. We don't want any sin fall on us, Lord. If there's anything we don't even know we've done wrong, we pray, Lord, that you show it to us. Lord, forgive us of our presumptuous sins. Forgive us of the things that we know are iniquities that abound, Lord, every day. But Lord, you promised your mercies were new every morning. And we come this morning expecting mercy. We love you, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves to you. Speak through your word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get too far into this next Sunday, I plan on having a little box out there. And like I said, if we don't have anything, that's not a big deal. Any specific questions on these seals? But I'm going to try to say it just like the prophet did. He asked for questions on the seals, and he got questions about everything but the seals. You know, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I wear this? Can I wear that? That isn't really what Christianity is all about anyways. Christianity is about accepting a Savior. It's about accepting a life from God to where you don't have to put on and say, well, I'm supposed to do this because I'm a Christian. It's just automatic. I want to do this because I'm a Christian. If you've got to put on Christianity, you haven't been born again yet. It's time to find an altar and die to yourself and find that Christ is still alive today. But next week, I'll have a box out there, Lord willing, on Wednesday. If you have any questions on these seals that we've gone through, I'd like you to ask and try to keep it right on the seals. I know there's plenty of questions that are out there. We had some pretty good ones. Last time we had some questions and answers. That was some pretty good ones even for me. I had to go back and study up some things that I hadn't touched in a long time. But we've just been going through these seals, and I don't want there to be no questions, especially when we come up to that seventh seal. I believe it's very important. I was talking to a brother here day before, something like that. And he said, I don't understand what people hear when they listen to the tapes. He says, people say seven seals this and this and this and this. And I understood what he was trying to say. He said, I heard about when I think Brother Branham had accidentally gotten too much change from a woman, and he turned around and drove back, I don't remember how many miles, to make sure he gave the change back. He said, that's the kind of things I heard. Real reality. Right. And I do appreciate that. I believe that. But look, if you think the seven seals don't have to do with reality, you didn't get the revelation of it. Sure. These seals are important. There's no reason God would come down and vindicate this message with these seals. Let his face be shown in the sky so that everybody could see if there wasn't something we were supposed to know. Amen. It wasn't just some head knowledge. This was God Almighty coming down to show us, this is how you're going to get ready. Amen. You're not going to make the rapture unless these seals were opened. You wouldn't be there. Right. I wouldn't be there. But God, in his mercies, knew that we needed these things. We needed to understand what this meant. So we weren't applying ourselves over here or over here. He showed us right where we are.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So I don't want there to be any questions, especially, like I said, when we approach the seventh seal. I won't wrap the seventh seal up in one service, Lord willing it anyways. I don't plan on doing that. It'll probably be a while. But anyways, if you have any questions, I'll have a box out there. You can write them out. I'll study them over the weekend, and we'll deal with that next Sunday. Otherwise, or additionally, on Sunday morning next week, I plan on having a healing service. Just like the prophet of God did, I want to teach, if we don't have any questions or anything, and even if we do, I'll probably still teach on healing, certain things in the Bible I want to explain on different ways that people can be healed, different things that God has given us in the Scripture. Aren't you glad he's given us a whole arsenal to take on the devil? It's not just one little thing here or there. He's got it covered from kibber to kibber, post to post. Anywhere in your life, he's got an answer. People got lots of questions, and if you just tell them to come to Christ, he's always got the answer. It's always laying right here in the Word of God.
Right.
I just want to explain those things, and we'll probably... the Lord willing, I want to have a prayer line. If you have any sickness, if you have any family you want to stand in the gap for, we know these things that are in the Scriptures, and I plan on explaining that too. I want to go through it myself. I got all kinds of needs I believe God wants to give me.
Amen.
God wants to give me these things. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to have the Holy Ghost. He wants our family saved. He doesn't desire that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance.
Amen. Amen.
And even the Bible says he wishes that our bodies would prosper even as our souls prospers. So we're not here to have a bad time. I know we ain't supposed to conform to this world. I'm planning on getting out of here.
Amen. Amen.
But even while I'm down here, I believe I've got a portion of the Holy Ghost. Well, a little bit that's mine is enough to make me happy even amidst all this. So
amen.
It's enough to give me joy. It's enough to give me peace. It's enough to give me love in a nation that doesn't know what love is anymore, because God is the Almighty. And if I got one little part of God, that's more than Satan's ever had, because he was a created being. God is eternal. God never started. God never ends. He's infinite. You take infinite divided by anything. Guess what? I'm a math teacher. You still have infinite. The devil has a certain amount of sin he's got. But God is infinite. It will annihilate all of it. And he already did it 2,000 years ago. He's waiting on us to believe it. Amen. That atonement was all we needed. Was for him to go on the cross and die. Hallelujah. All right. Enough of the preliminaries there, I think. But everybody understand for next Sunday. We'll probably just have everybody go out that way, and I'll push this away. We'll have a prayer line going right through here to keep it nice and orderly. And come expecting. Don't come here and hit another service. Even this morning, we ain't here for another service, church. And this isn't this just us 20 people here in some little building. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible said where two or three are gathered, he is here. And that's why I stopped and made sure we believe that before we went on. Don't expect to get anything just because we have some certain gathering here. It's because Christ said it in his word that he would be here. And he said, ask and you shall receive. You say, I need something this morning. Why did you leave without it?
Amen.
You should never leave a service with a need. That means you lacked faith somewhere. You say, well, I don't feel no better. That doesn't have anything to do with it. If you have faith and God comes and shows you, you are healed.
Amen.
Feel every pain he wants. You say, Satan, you're a liar. These are lying vanities.
Amen.
Anybody ever lived in a whale yet? Anybody had to spend 3 days down in the bottom of the belly of a whale down at the bottom of the ocean somewhere? For 3 days in the dark. And look around, and all you see is whale's belly. And you expect to get out of there. That's what happened to Jonah. Ain't none of us been there yet. But you see, he still had enough faith to say, Lord, I know that Solomon was a backslider. It doesn't matter. But his prayer said, if I would turn to the temple, if I would look toward you and pray, you would get me out of this.
Amen.
And this morning, I ain't looking to this temple. I ain't looking to something made with hands. I'm looking to the Almighty Son of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you.
The same God that when there was a leper came to him and said, I desire to be healed. He said, I will be thou clean. Go home. And he walked out of the well.
Oh, yes.
He's the same God today.
Yes.
He's saying, where is he? He lives right in me.
Yes.
He and the Holy Ghost, the same person. You tell me you receive the Holy Ghost. Christ is with you 24/7.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So come expecting great things. I'm expecting, even to this morning, I'm feeling pretty good already. Let's go ahead and back in this sixth seal then for a little bit here. I want to explain what this sixth seal here is. We've been tromping through all these seals pretty well, I think, by the help of the Lord now. But we go through that again. If you looked at Revelation 6, right there, the first part. Let's go through this real quick here. And when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And as we study that thunder, we know that the thunder equates, and if you go through the Bible, it's the voice of God speaking. It was one thunder, and all of these seals came forth, showing that it would all happen at the same time, and it was exactly fulfilled that way.
Uh-huh.
The noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. We looked at those four beasts. What was that first beast again? A lion. A lion went against us. You can read that back there in Revelations, I believe it's chapter 4. It talks about the four different beasts there. And I saw and beheld a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And we study that too. It was just a bow. He did not have arrows. This man could not have been Christ, because Christ is packing a two-edged sword of the Word of God. This man just has a bow with no arrows because he's a complete bluff. He's an imposter of Christ. This is the Antichrist right there. That's rode all the way back there with James and John and Paul and all those. They saw it coming, and it was right there in that age.
Sure.
That white horse was riding. What was it? So close to Christ that without Christ you never would have known it. If you were just using logic, as any man would, you'd have said it's the exact same. You'd have thought Christ and the Antichrist were the same thing. People think that the Antichrist is black and Christ is white. It ain't how it works. He's just off white.
That's right.
And it's so fair, you never would have noticed it. But look, you put one drop of black inside of a bucket of white, it ain't pure white no more. It's defiled. And that's all it took. That's all he did. What was that little idea? We read that back there in a couple chapters about Nicolaitanism. About coming and the priesthood taking over the laity of God. You think of what that is, you're stealing from God's property.
Amen.
When a man does that. I don't own any of you. Christ owns every one of us. You say, well, you got to head the church. I understand that. And I have to make decisions being at this pulpit that most of you won't have to make anything like that. But that doesn't mean that I'm not a sheep just like the rest of you.
Right.
We are all under Christ. And if I don't tote up to this word, I don't deserve to be a Christian either. I don't care if God can come and anoint this gift. If I don't do this, I will be lost the same. I have to be born again. I have to receive the Holy Ghost just like everyone else does. Because God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
He don't care who you are. He don't care where you come from. You've got to come the same road everyone else did. That's why I love Christianity. There's no guy that was just good at being a Christian.
Nope.
He came one time. His name was Christ. And that was it. The rest of us, we came born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come in the world speaking lies. We all needed a tutor. We all needed some governors. We all needed the Holy Ghost to come show us.
Amen.
Well, should it should take the props right out of our legs real quick.
Amen.
Because anything God ever uses us for, if it's successful, it's because the man did not do it himself. He let the Holy Spirit do it.
Amen.
And that goes the same with all of us. You say, I want to witness. I want to tell people about Christ. Well, you go ahead and do that, you'll fail every time. But you're saying, God, I believe that you can anoint me.
Amen.
You can tell me what I need to say, and it'll be right every time, and it never fails.
Right.
Never fails, church.
Amen.
I mean, it was a witness of that.
Yes, I am.
So we went through that first seal. We watched that white horse rider. He was the Antichrist from the beginning. And he started out so close to Christ. All it was a little idea that the priesthood had to stand between the people and God, which was completely contrary to what God wanted. God wants an intimate, personal relationship with every single believer.
Amen.
Everyone. You don't have to worry about the rest of the world. He will give you intimate time.
Amen.
Anytime you want to give it to him.
He
stands in your house when you're sitting there goofing off doing something else. He's standing in the corner waiting for you to talk to him.
Amen.
He will come wherever he's invited to. Remember in the Bible? Man didn't even wash his feet. He came in there dirty. He went anyways, though. See where our faith ought to be? At least that sinner had enough faith to know he was going to show up. How many's got faith this morning that Christ is already here?
Amen.
He is here, church. I'm telling you. I feel his presence like I haven't in a little while, I guess. But he is so wonderful. He's so such a wonderful Savior. I don't know how people don't accept him. I understand. I come to him and I go, I am not worthy to be called by your name, Lord. I ain't worthy when I see what I've done. But thanks be to God, he wasn't worried about that.
Amen.
He knew I wasn't worthy. Why do you think he went to the cross for me?
Amen.
He never asked me about it. He never said, Andrew, do you want me to go to the cross and die for your sins? He said, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me.
Amen.
You think the Romans killed him on that cross? No, they didn't. The Jews didn't kill him on the cross. He allowed himself to die. He gave up the ghost. And if you look at that word, it's different than any other time. When it talks about a man giving it up, it was just, he had to. This was, he was willingly giving it up. He willingly died. How do people, remember we read that in Hebrews here a few weeks ago. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
Salvation that had nothing to do with us besides us accepting it by faith.
Sure.
That's all he ever wanted any of us. So we go to that first seal there. Second seal. We know where that second beast was there. It's Revelation 6:3 now. And I heard when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. That second beast was an ox, which we know was a sacrifice animal. It was an animal of labor. It was one that you would use to plow your fields and to pull things. And that's exactly what the church did at this time. It was during that, right before those dark ages started coming, they were just giving their lives up left and right, doing whatever they had to do. They didn't have that old lying anointing they had before. They were just laying it down.
Right.
Because look what this horse was doing. And there went out another horse that was red. So he's not white anymore. He starts showing his colors. And he comes red, which is full of blood. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And that's exactly what this horse rider did. And they should kill one another. And it was given unto him a great sword. This sword was not the sword of the word now. It was not a sharp two-edged sword. It was just a great sword full of blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
Amen.
You can find it in Revelation 17. The woman, John looked at that woman. She looked so beautiful. And he thought, how could that woman be covered with millions of innocent people's blood all over her? But it was the truth nonetheless, showing what the Antichrist really was. He was a religious movement from the beginning. And not just some religion. He came right next to Christ. You say, where was the Antichrist in the days of Jesus? It was Judas.
Amen.
A man who walked with Christ through his whole ministry. To the point where Jesus looked around and he said, one of you will betray me. And Peter looked over to Andrew and said, Lord, is it me? Andrew said, is it me? You see, these men loved Jesus too. We know that. Peter loved Jesus so much he didn't even want him to go to the cross. We know it's foolish. He didn't know what he was talking about. But he loved Jesus so much he didn't want him to go. And he was still saying, Lord, is it me? Nobody thought it was Judas in the corner. He wasn't back there hiding, saying, oh, I'm going to trick him. No. He was walked there. Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
This is the message of the hour. Aren't you grateful to be in the truth of this day?
That's right.
We're going to have healing campaigns. Let's go get them. Let's go bring some souls in. Let's see how many we can get. Praise God. He was right there the whole time.
That's right.
But what happened? The second money started getting involved. That's when his heart started to part.
Uh-huh.
We know that Jesus was never fooled by it either. He knew the whole time. The Bible says that. He said he knew from the beginning who would betray him. And look how he treated him. And that should do us a little lashing on the back sometimes. We go, well, I know they're this, I know they're that. Well, that's fine, but look what Jesus did. He called Judas friend all the way to where he got betrayed. And we think we have a right to retaliate against anyone?
Nope.
You never do. And that's why this ox is such a wonderful thing to know that it was Christ. He willingly laid down his life for others. And that should be our day in, day out life. I know we might not give our head on a martyr's block somewhere, but look, you can live for other people like nobody else will in this world anymore. My, you go and pay for somebody's gas, they'll think you're trying to rob them later on or something, because that just doesn't happen anymore. You come up with somebody and look, man, they look like they don't got a whole lot of money. I'm going to go up there and tell them to put their bill on mine. You don't see that no more. They'll think that you're trying to, you know, get over nice on them so you can steal their car later or something. Why? Because what did the Bible say? He said, at the end time, the love of many shall wax cold. We know that is what's happening. And look, don't get dulled by it. Don't get, oh, times are tough. I don't know if I can live for us. Quit thinking that. We aren't depending on ourselves. We're depending on God Almighty. He said, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. How am I going to be able to do that, Lord? You know, God has moved on his church to help others and we don't listen. You know it's true. It's happened. I bet it's happened every day in my life. I see somebody walking on the street. I just right there standing in church before. I saw a man walking there smoking a cigarette. And something in my heart said, I wish there was something I could do for him. Thinking, it's a Sunday morning. What's he got to live for? To go walk out in blazing heat and puff a cigarette. People think they want to serve the devil. That devil ain't got nothing to offer you. That's the high life nowadays. Maybe he'll get a beer later and feel good. That's it. That's all the Antichrist had to offer. And to think he came in the form of religion, and that's where he drives people.
Amen.
It makes me sick. I had a student one time, supposed to be, I think, Pentecostal. He was telling me, oh, our church has got the power of God. And I started figuring out what he was talking about, and they speak in tongues, have prophecy and things. I had to try to tell him, like, look, I've done all those things too, you know. You want to play your little spiritual totem pole or whatever, we'll go. I guess we'll go. But anyways, he was talking about going to parties and drinking and with girls and things. And I'm like, how do you do that and claim to be a Christian? It's like, I think you worry too much about, you know, law and stuff like that. I was like, you need to get saved.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. Look at the delusion of these people. They think, well, I kind of associate with Christianity. I must be able to make it. Well, that would be about 97% of this nation that'll at least subscribe a little bit to Christianity. They ain't saved more than Judas was. Mine, they're not even make believers anymore. They're just straight unbelievers. You start asking them, do you believe that Jesus didn't sin? They go, well, probably he did a little bit. They don't even know what they're talking about. Do you believe that Christ really rose the third day? Well, that's kind of a fishy story. Do you believe he was really born, virgin born? Well, I don't know if that was really possible. You don't even believe what you're saying. But the bride of Christ, you don't have to add one word. You don't have to take one word away. They will take this and they will just eat it up.
Amen.
They'll say, yes, Lord. Yes, it's amen. Yes and amen. They won't put up with this white horse. They won't put up with this red horse. And we'll get to that man in the black and the pale. They don't even fool with that. It's where's that pure white? Where's where I can live Amen. So close to Christ
yes,
that
Lord.
I look just like him?
Just like him.
That's my desire. That's when you know somebody really loves God. It ain't about, can I do this? Can I watch this? Do I have to give this up? That ain't the bride of Christ.
Right.
Bride of Christ, the second the Lord says something, they're on it.
Amen. That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
Even the prophet felt rebuked. Remember when he said, I always sat there and waited for the Lord to give me a vision. He said, I gave those apostles a little nod and they took off. And he said, Lord, forgive me. And that's why I think it was spoken more as original seed. He said he saw a woman sitting there. He was saying, Lord, you can give me a vision. She'll get well. He said that, I don't remember if he said God told him or he just thought it. Like, he was looking at the woman and said, but the word of God's saying right there. He said, these signs follow them that believe. He said, that word's just as true now if I see a vision or not.
Amen.
Right.
He said, and just to prove what he was preaching, because he said, spoken words, original seed. He said, I didn't even lay hands on her. I just spoke it.
That's it.
And that's a real minister. Not one that just gets up here and says, oh, here's some good ideas. Here's some good thoughts. And somebody says, this is how you do it. And it got done.
Amen.
And not just for himself either. He's trying to equip the saints. Every believer has these signs following them.
Amen.
You need to be somewhere in the equation somewhere.
That's right.
You say you see somebody sick and you know that God's moving on your heart to touch them. Don't call me up. I don't need to be there. My hands ain't holy. They're just like yours and mine. We're all in a body of flesh, sin, born in sin the same way. It ain't had nothing to do with that in the first place. He said these signs fall and I believe they'll lay hands on sick, they'll get well.
That's
you
right.
Just do it.
That's right.
And you watch it. And even those doubting thoughts come, don't even pay that no attention. It will come now. Don't expect it to be just Superman mind. It ain't going to be that way. Right. Satan fights at every opportunity he has. We are living in Satan's Eden. Yes.
Amen.
You think of how wonderful God's Eden was, how perfect it was, how peaceful it was. Well, this is the exact opposite of that. And you expect to just do things for God and no resistance whatsoever. You're going to fight for every inch. Isn't that what happened in the book of Joshua?
Amen.
God had already given them that promised land. Said there, it's already ours. But every inch of the way they had to kill Philistines. And they might stab one, and then what would God do? God rain hail down and kill 100,000.
Yeah.
That's all he wants out of you, to do something of faith. You say, well, okay, I'll put my hand on it. He goes through into the molecular structure and fixes it all for you.
Uh-huh.
He ain't asking you to do very much. His burden is light. Praise be to God.
Woo!
We know how easy it is to access these if you just believe.
Right.
Don't try to work it up. Don't try to get good enough. You ain't good enough. But if you know that he's good enough, and when we see he was on that cross, he was thinking of me, he was dying in my place, he was doing it so I could be worthy.
Amen.
That's the way I approach these things.
Amen.
You say, how come you think, you know, we're the only elect group, blah, blah, blah. It has nothing to do with that. It's to every believer.
Right.
God is not pushing people out of heaven. God is not keeping people out of the rapture. People don't want to be in it. God doesn't send one person to hell. They send themselves.
Amen.
You say, how is that possible? Nobody has to tell you cussing's wrong. Get around a little child once. Then you try to cuss in front of them. You won't do it. Or if you do, your conscience is so seared because you've been living that way so long, you just run right over the top of it. Nobody's got to tell you drinking, smoking, and running around with women's wrong. Nobody's got to tell you any of that. We all know there's something inside of us that knows the way we're supposed to live. What is that? It was that hole that God put in us, the thirst after him. When the prophet said, he said, you don't have a right to fill that with something of the world. He said, God made that one little hole in there just for himself, and nothing will take its place. It's just like playing that, you know, those little kids had the little wooden games. And it's like taking that square and trying to shove through that circle. You can try it all day. It won't go in. How much more in the spiritual realm? Hope I'm preaching to somebody because this ain't where I was going. That's all right, though. So we watch these horse riders. Let's go to that third one real quick, and I'm going to get down to this seal real fast. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. We know that third beast was a man. And I beheld in lo a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, remember who that voice was that was sitting there in the midst?
Amen.
Who was in between the four?
Christ.
Anointings, it was Christ himself.
Amen.
He piped up and said, I have something to say about this. That man anointing was back there in the reformer's day. We remember this black horse was the dark ages when they were just killing everybody. They were weighing out everybody's life saying, if you don't pay for this, not only are we going to kill you naturally, but we're going to tell you and all your family will be in hell. That's how bad it got. And people had to believe it because they didn't have nothing else to listen to. Look, they didn't have a Bible they could read. It was in Latin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Imagine if the only Bibles you could find were in Portuguese. What would you do? You find some minister that spoke Portuguese and you'd believe it. What do you think happened to these people? But God, in his mercy, look. There was a lot that got deceived. But there was a group that he always had in mind because he piped up here and said, look, there's a little group in there I don't want you to touch.
Right.
You got no rights on them. You can't push those Hail Marys and all that other junk you want to down their throats. I'm going to protect them. What does he say? I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, because he was weighing out their lives. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And we remember what the oil was. It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You don't touch that. They can still receive it. Say, well, they weren't even baptized right. He says, I know, and I will wink at their ignorance in that age, but they can still have it. Because I am an elected group that I foresaw before the foundation of the world. It doesn't matter what Satan does. I will not let them be lost.
Amen.
He says, how can I forget you? You're impalmed in my hand. Would you believe that your name is impalmed in Christ's hand?
Amen.
You ain't trying to save yourself. You ain't trying to stay safe. He did it all.
Amen.
My, and not only are we saved in this world or the world to come, we're saved in this world right now.
Amen.
To where when I start getting down, I got a source of power that gets me back up.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
Look, I'm 26 years old. I don't have a physical job, and I've been having this hip pain for some reason. But I tell you what, I don't accept that. I don't care. You say, well, it's just the food we eat. I don't care what food I eat. I receive it with thanksgiving and praise. God is able to make it work for my body.
Amen.
My. I don't know. Pray for me, church. I don't know why I'm not going away. It's just, we got to operate in faith.
Amen.
Tired of reasoning. Reasoning is just, it just needs to go out the door. They are polar opposites, church.
Yes, they are.
Faith reads the word, says amen, and acts upon it.
Amen.
I'm tired of that too. People saying, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It never happens.
Right.
It needs to be, Christ already did this, and I accept it.
Amen.
Praise God. The fourth seal there. Let me take a drink real quick. You enjoying the word so far?
Amen.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. What was that fourth? That fourth beast? It was an eagle. And actually, if you read it, it says a flying eagle. Don't you like that? Not some perched on the ground now. An eagle that's in the air, stays in the air, ain't affected by no weather, ain't affected by no horse riders. That's for sure. They're way down there on the ground. He can see them way up there and just laugh at them. That's the way we're supposed to be treating the devil in this age. We're supposed to, oh, I wonder what the devil's going to do. I wonder if he's going to give me sickness if I live for God. What if he's going to take away my house? That ain't the eagle anointing, church. The eagle anointing says, come hell or high water, devil, you're done.
Amen.
You're done. And we'll get into the sixth seal. This seal was there to destroy the work of the devil and all his works.
Amen.
So that way, when the millennium comes, you won't be able to find no signs of Satan nowhere. It's done away with. Aren't you thirsty for that world? I can't wait. Oh my, yeah, I want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But can you imagine when we come back? How many joys of the earth now in the beauty of nature and things that we could see? Imagine if the whole world was perfect like that. Oh my.
Amen.
And look, there ain't no work in the morning, brother. We can go out there and sit on a nice perch somewhere. Look at that big mountain coming down and the animal. Oh my, glory to God. It's true. This ain't fairy tale.
Amen.
That's really where I'm going.
Amen.
Let my house burn down. Let my cars break down. Give me Jesus.
Amen.
Give me Jesus. And on top of that, we get to see our loved ones. They ain't here. We get to go meet Paul. And Barnabas and all the way down. Oh my, and you think
Amen.
Of your family and friends that have passed on, they'll be there. And all more than anything, Jesus Christ will be there himself. We know that the Bible says we haven't seen him, but we still love him. He says, but over there, oh my, can you imagine just hugging up to his arm? And you can just stay there as long as you want. There ain't no time no more. That don't have nothing to do with anything.
Right.
There ain't no tomorrow. There ain't no yesterday. There ain't no 5 minutes. There ain't no 10 minutes. It's just now. It's that wonderful, blissful, eternal age.
Amen.
What is this fourth horse rider? Or sorry, fourth beast is an eagle. And we know what that means. It means that we're sailing above the things of the world. And we're living in an age where we can see all the way back. And we can see all the way forward. And we can see in clear vision what's going on right now.
Amen.
So we start moving into prophetic realm. Start seeing what's going to happen here next. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. This black or this pale horse rider, as we studied it out, you take red, you take white, you take black, and you mix them all together, you get pale. What is this? This is when Satan takes all his power and centers it into one individual man. That is called the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, which will be none other than the Pope incarnated by the devil himself. Now, when this happens, we know those that are the elect of God, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will not be here. The resurrection, the rapture will come first. The resurrection will pull the old saints from all the ages, and we'll go up and meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
That's what the Bible promised.
Yes.
And as we go up, as we remember in the courtroom of heaven, the case is settled, it's over, so that attorney needs to leave. There ain't no more room for him, so he comes down to the earth. And look how long Satan's even going to put up with him, just a measly 3.5 years. That's all you get, Satan. We think, well, that's a long time. Not if you've been living like Satan has. He's been around for at least 6,000. Who knows how much time he was made before that. But when he comes down, he's got 3.5 years. And could you imagine the rage he would have to destroy whatever he can in a measly 3.5 years? I don't know where people get this seven stuff. If you start reading the book of Revelations, I'll get to that in a minute, but there's three or four different times. Every time does never comes out to be 7 years. It's always 3.5. So when we could go back to the prophecy of Daniel, I'm just laying this out. There was a last week left over in Daniel's 70th week. That means 7 years, because 7 days, 7 years. It said the Messiah would be cut half off. That's why Jesus' ministry from start to finish, 3.5 years, because that was the Messiah. He was cut off, taken, so he could take a people for his namesake, which are the Gentiles. But when he comes back, he only has 3.5 years left. Amen. And we'll show you why here when we get into the sixth seal. So that was the fourth seal. We know it's the Antichrist coming down after the church is up. We went to the fifth seal. What were those souls that were under there calling for revenge? They were not the church. They were the Jews that were killed in the Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
In all that time. And they are. We think, oh, that was so terrible. They don't think that no more. Yeah, it was terrible when they all died and stuff. But look, they're sitting up under the throne of God on the altar of sacrifice. And they've been given white robes.
Amen.
They're saying, Lord, when do we get to go back?
Right.
He says, just hold on a little bit. I got some of your brothers here that got to die yet. And you could read that there in Revelation 6, 9 to 11 when, on your own time here. But we start getting to the sixth seal. Let me just read this out of the sixth seal, and Brother Brandon preached it. He said, for we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. It's the judgment seal, exactly what it is. Now we've had the Antichrist ride, seen the church go. Now it's finished, goes up. Then we see the martyrs and them Jews back there under the altar. Now here's the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people, where out of this tribulation judgment will come the 144,000 redeemed Jews. Why is that in there? Because what did he say in the fifth seal? He said, you've got some brethren left that need to die. And the type works perfectly out with Joseph. Joseph, thank you, Jesus. When Joseph was making himself known to his brother, before he did, he said, you need to go get me Benjamin. They went without Benjamin the first time. His brother that he didn't even know since he was a little guy.
Right.
Said, you need to go back and get Benjamin and bring him here. He said, I won't. And he didn't even talk to him. He talked to him in a different language until then. Why do you think that the Jews can't receive Christ? They don't hear it in the right language right now. They can't hear it. And why was it? It was for our sake, church. How much does God love us?
Amen.
We were Gentiles. He had no promise to come to us. But out of his mercy, he blinded his own children and came to us just like Joseph. When he was down there in the dumps, he came back up, became the right hand of Pharaoh, and took a wife unto himself.
Yes.
And when he went to take, when he was going to make himself known to all his other brethren now, which were the Jews, we know that.
Right.
I'm just teaching this out. I don't want no questions, all right? I want all this laid out before we get to that seventh seal now. He was going to make himself known to all his brothers. Before he could, he said, you go find me Benjamin. I want to see my brother. What was his tie to Benjamin? They had the same mother.
Right.
All his other brothers were half-brothers. All those other Jews didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But this group that he's going to get to now, they have a tie to him that the other ones didn't. And when Benjamin showed up finally, I think it was Judah put his life on the line for him.
Uh-huh.
Saying, if they don't come back, I'll die. Whatever. Because I'll just kill my father if they don't bring him back. They brought Benjamin Joseph just couldn't take it anymore. Could you imagine if you knew your brothers had betrayed you, thought you were dead? And there's your little brother. He's full grown now. He's got children and everything else. And you haven't seen him in 20 years. You think you're going to be able to keep it cool very long? What do you think Christ is going to feel like when it's been 2,000?
Uh-huh.
And there's those faithful Jews. And they're out. Those Jews are dying every day. They're dying to try to stay alive. And it's a miracle they're over there. If you don't believe in God, go look at the Jew for a little bit and go study it. You tell me how they're making it. Let's have Rhode Island fight the rest of the United States and see who wins now.
Uh-huh.
But if you got God on your side, it don't matter if there's five there. They ain't gonna fall down. Amen. They can beat the odds. You think, oh, I got all these demons on me. If there's one standing with you, you are the majority.
Amen.
Let them come. Bring it, devil. I got God standing right here.
Amen.
You ever heard that 23 minutes in hell before? Man said I don't want to go into testimony too much, but just to take what he said there. He said when he went down to the lost, he said those demons were 14 feet tall. He said, just scary, beat you to smithereens. He said, but when he got up there with Jesus, he said, they turned into little ants on the wall. And that's exactly what it's like. Yeah, you start fighting cancer with yourself. You're like, oh man, look at that. You start feeling so small, you can walk under a concrete block with a 10-gallon hand on, right? That's pretty tiny, right? That's what we feel like when we get next to God. But you let Jesus stand one time, and not only stand with you, but let him stand in you. Towards you and him are one and the same. It'll be all right, church. where you and him are one and the same. You don't remember Jesus ever fretting about nothing. You don't remember Jesus getting all excited about anything. He had perfect calm, perfect control. Why? Because he was the created Son of God. Amen. Standing there with the authority of the Almighty. He had all heaven backing him up. Amen. And he knew it. The bride of Christ is supposed to be in the same spot. Look, you need to live in that realm of perfect faith. Don't settle for anything else. Don't settle for one doubt in your life going, I don't know if I'm going to make the rapture. It's not about making the rapture. It's about being the rapture.
Amen.
I wrote a song a long time ago, and I didn't know what it really meant, but it was, there's not going to be a rapture without me.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm just it. I'm a part of it. I'm not looking for it. I'm not, oh, where is it coming from? It's already within me. I have the down payment now, and it has to produce itself. You can't stop it.
Amen.
My, praise be to God. So we get into the sixth seal. Let's go right in the sixth seal now. I think this would be a good time. Let's read there again. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Remember the last time there was a great earthquake was right before Christ, right when Christ died. When he came the last time, he said, the great earthquake rent the temple from top to bottom, said the sun didn't shine for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. People thought, well, it's just cloudy today, right? No, not this kind of darkness. It's the same back there in Egypt. They had all these plagues all the way up. People dying left, the frogs coming and all these things. But when it got down to the end, it was darkness so bad, you could feel it. Everybody sat in darkness like that? You're going to have to be out in the woods somewhere where there ain't nothing, because now there's so much artificial light you can't even see like that.
Right.
But it was so dark you could feel it, and that's the day that we were living in now.
Right.
It's getting so dark, you can feel it everywhere. You try to go out in the mountains, there's devils that'll try to follow you out there nowadays. We know the prophet said there's less. Praise be to God. A lot less than going down there in downtown Detroit. You better get ready. There are devils everywhere. But again, if you're packing the Savior, you just tramp right through them. Remember those three men? David wanted just one drink of water. All he wanted is, I just want a drink of water. Just like we were talking about, God giving a little nod. Those three soldiers, they didn't talk about it. They didn't go, hey, boys, you think we can do this? They said, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
They didn't even talk to David about it. He didn't know they were going to do it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if we just obeyed without even Jesus having to check up on us all the time?
Amen.
You sure you still let us? No, we got it done. We got it done, boss. Right? We got it done, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We'll pray for them. I already did, Lord. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Amen.
Amen.
And those three soldiers, they didn't worry about all the Philistines on the way. They said, that's all right. We got God on our side. Let's just tremble right through them all. And they did. I don't even know how many thousands they took out that day. They went down there for one drink of water. And I guess only two guys fought on the way back. Somebody had to carry the water.
Right.
And they still didn't worry about that either. They got all the way back and they gave it to him. And David didn't even drink. He said, how can I drink this?
That's right.
He said, my, these men put their lives in for this drink of water. And he poured it out to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It don't matter how many devils ever come against the true bride of Christ. It cannot stop it.
Amen.
Why? Why can't the devil do anything? Because it was predestinated. That's the only reason we're going to make it, church. That's it.
That's right.
Remember what Jesus said? He said it would be so close to deceive the very elected. And I tell you what, if he stopped there, we'd all be scared. But he said, if it was possible.
Yeah.
Why is it not possible? Because these people aren't just trying to be Christians. They just are.
Amen.
They're not trying to be the Word. They just are the Word.
Right.
Jesus wasn't trying to put on nothing. Jesus just lived the way he was supposed to. He listened to the Father every time. And the results happened every time.
That's right.
It's the same for the bride in this stage. So we watch the sixth seal. It's the same thing. It's this judgment coming down. And that's what happened when Christ came the first time. Right before he left the scene, the judgments came down on the earth. It'll be the same in this thing. When Christ is going to come, we know there's three comings. One is with him coming now, but there'll be one at the end of all things. And this is what we're getting into. And I will behold when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Revelation 6:12. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And I could go back there and read it, but all the way in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah. I got it here somewhere. Oh, maybe I left it on the other one. That's okay. I think it's Isaiah chapter 14. He goes through and he says the exact same thing. There'll come the dreadful day of the Lord. He said the sun will be black, the stars will fall. And this is not something new. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. These seals were always laying in the Word.
Amen.
And the seals go all the way back to Genesis, all the way throughout the whole Word.
Uh-huh.
What do you think that white horse rider was in Genesis? Oh, just offer a little bit different sacrifice.
Sure.
Oh, just partake of this tree. It's close enough. You'll be like God. They already were.
Yeah.
They were already amateur gods on earth. I'm not trying to get on tangents now. But these things are eternal. These things will always be. We'll always know what Christ was all about. Let me get there again. And the stars of heaven fell from upon the earth, and even as a fig tree casts her untimely fig when she is shaken a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as the scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So what is this seal doing? It's disrupting everything. It's disrupting nature, disrupting the foundation, and we can get to the political part there where all the men, everything. Everything falls apart in the sixth seal. Why? Because every kingdom must come down except the kingdom established before the foundation of the world, which was Christ's kingdom.
Amen.
Remember in Daniel, he said there was a stone came off the mountain and crushed this image that had built all these kingdoms all the way back there, all the way to the end. Yeah. Crushed it all down. Every kingdom must come down, and that's what this seal was sent to do. And who brings this seal on? We could turn over there if you want to real quick just to look at it. If you go over to Revelation chapter 11, you'll see who brings this on because it talks about the same 3.5 years. Revelation 11. Just trying to teach this morning, trying to get this across. Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months, how long is that? Anybody know? If you do the math, 3.5 years. 42 months they will tread against Israel. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. If you take every month, it's 30 days like it's supposed to be. 1,260 days is 3.5 years. It's the same period of time. Clothed in sackcloth. Who are these 2 witnesses? Well, let's keep reading here. You'll know here in a minute. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. These are not 2 men that are going to go around fire breathing. It's the same on the book of Acts. When they had tongues of fire came upon everyone. What was it? It was the Holy Ghost came upon them. And the word is what destroys these people.
Right.
It won't be that they breathe fire on them. It'll be that the word through them will cast judgment. And they will die by the millions.
Amen.
We know that California is getting ready to sink. If you're just a scientist, you know that. It's so honeycomb through, it's going to fall in. Imagine when it really does come down.
Right.
We think that these tornadoes and things that we've had, and they are awful. It's terrible to watch these lives go. It shouldn't have to be this way, but this is what man wanted. When man wanted sin, this is what he asked for, because the end of sin is death. And that's what he wanted. Pleasure of sin is only for a little season before you know you're dead.
Yes,
sir. But wait till that falls in. There'll be so many millions dead. That's why I can't understand how anybody believes that the bride of Christ will be here for that.
That's right.
I don't understand it. If California goes down, I plan on going up 2 seconds after. Because I don't want to be around to see that. Oh my, God have mercy. Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven. What man ever shut heaven up for 3.5 years? Anybody know? It was Elijah the prophet. That it rain not the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood. Who turned the water into blood?
Moses.
And to smite the earth with all the plagues. Who smite the world with the 10 plagues? Moses did. As often as they will. Who are these 2 witnesses? It's Moses and Elijah. They're the ones that will bring this seal down. Because what is their ministry? Their ministry is to go to those 144,000. Why? To fulfill that 5th seal prophecy that the brethren had to be killed as well. So they will go to Israel to find the 144,000. But in order to do that, they have to judge the whole world to take it away, to take it out.
Uh-huh.
It has to be done away with. So what do? They do what they did before. They shut the heavens. It won't rain for 3.5 years. And that's already happened once. You imagine what would happen to the economy if it didn't rain for 3.5 years? It'd be over. The only ones be living, the people that stored up for no reason. The ones that just did it. They would be the only ones left. Everybody else would be gone. There wouldn't be nothing. Now on top of that, there's plagues falling left and right. And let's just go down the list. We'll say you wake up one morning, you got frogs coming all over your house. Your neighbor's got lice all over him. He can't stand it. There's hail just fell in your neighbor's yard. That's what's going to happen in this time.
Right.
You wonder why the foolish virgin has to go through that? Because this message was so vindicated. From the beginning to the end, to reject that, to not accept it and get the Holy Ghost, God thought it fit that they would have to go through that. And you turn down the blood of Christ. My, and you think the tribulation's bad, wait until you're actually in the regions of the lost. This ain't a time to play around with salvation. It's time to know that we know that we're going to be there.
Amen.
That we are there. Who are these two witnesses? Are Moses and Elijah? Another thing, how do you know they're going to be around? Well, when Jesus was transfigured up there on Mount Transfiguration, he had two people show up. One was Moses, one was Elijah. They're not dead. They're still alive. When Elijah was supposed to die, they thought, chariot came down and took him and went up to heaven. Why? God had something for him to do later on. So he said, well, boy, you ain't done yet. I'll take you right now. We'll put you over here where there ain't no time. We'll just leave you sit up here for a little while. We'll bring you back in time here later on. Amen. Moses, we could read that in Jude. It's just back there a little bit. You find it where it's only one chapter. You could read that. But when the archangel was discussing with the devil came up and said, hey, where's Moses? I watched him die over there. Where'd he go? Moses did die. Now, he didn't stay dead, though. God came down and took him up. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. The devil said, I'm supposed to have right on this. And the Lord just said, I rebuke you. Isn't that the way we should be treating the devil? It ain't there to have a little reasoning match back and forth and say, well, Satan, I think if you do this, I'll do this. And no, it's just, I rebuke you. Get out. Uh-huh. That's what he did. He said, I should rebuke you. Why? God can do what he wants to.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, the devil can squat, and we know even back in the Old Testament the promise was supposed to be only to the Jews, but look, if somebody believed it, God said, I don't care.
That's right.
I'll bring in Ruth.
That's right.
I'll bring in Rahab. You want to believe it? Come on in. That's fine. Those Egyptians, if they would have believed it all the way through, they could have had it. That's all he's ever wanted. He's never changed the requirement. The requirement is believe in his word.
Amen.
Believe in the word for your day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what were they doing? The devil sitting there fighting with the archangel saying, Moses is supposed to be here. He said, sorry, I got to use him later on. So he packed him up there. Brother Branham said he had angel pallbearers because they were the only ones who could take him where he was going.
Right.
So they were both up there and they were having a discussion with Jesus the first time about him going to the cross and things. Sure enough, they were still there. Here in the sixth seal, they're still, and they come back down. Elijah, we know, will go to all nations and cast judgment upon all the world. If Moses has one specific perfect, he goes right to Israel to show them like that you rejected what I really said.
Amen.
They think they're following Moses over there. They're not. Because if they believed Moses, they would have accepted Christ. So why is he getting sent over there? He has to get sent back to the Jews to show them that, yes, you did kill the Messiah.
Amen.
And that's what will tear them up, and they will separate, and they will be fasting and praying and just leaving alone because they realize what they've actually done. You don't have to go around trying to convert Jews. Leave that to God. They'll be converted as a nation. God is not dealing with the Jews as a nation at this moment. But that could change 5 minutes from now.
Amen.
There's nothing holding this back besides the church being ready. There's something not right somewhere. And what can we do? Brother Bram said when you start recognizing you're elect, he said it's not time to sit there and just, you know, puff your head up. It's time to start checking up.
Right. Amen.
Making sure you're really doing the Father's business.
Amen.
I'm right there in the boat with everyone. So who are these two witnesses? They're Moses and Elijah, as we read. They're still alive. They'll be brought back to earth. All their ministry will be reproduced again. And they'll bring on the end of this time. Just to finish this out, let's just go back here real quick. I'm just going to finish on the scripture. Go back to Matthew 24. I don't mean to go so long like this, but I hope you're understanding this. And if you have questions, like I said, make sure you write them down and bring them out so we can get all that cleared up.
Amen.
I want to show you that Jesus knew about these seals before they were ever written down in the book of Revelations. Matthew 24. We'll start at verse 4. They asked Jesus about when the temple would be teared down, when would be the end of the world, and when would these things come to pass. And here's his response to him. Jesus answered and said, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Does that sound familiar to you? I remember that being that first horse rider. That white horse rider looked just like Christ. And what did Jesus just say right here? He said, there'll be many come and say, I am Christ. He said, don't believe it.
Amen.
There's your first seal right there. Jesus had already talked about it long before John ever seen it. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that, be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Where do you remember wars and rumors of wars? The red horse rider. It's exactly what happened. But look, he even said there, it's not over yet though. So that's why there's still plenty of time after that. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Where do you remember famines taking place? There in that third seal, he said he was weighing out the balances, taking their food and making it this much and that much, and they couldn't even afford what they're both naturally and spiritually now. So there'll be famines and pestilences. What do you think that pale horse rider is going to do? He's all those wicked things and earthquakes and all that destruction will be centered into that one man. And that's that fourth seal coming to pass right there. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, showing you that this is when we change into that tribulation period. It's just the beginning of the sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. When were they killing people? Under that martyr's block. He said they'll kill you. They killed all of them, and they will kill those 144,000 few. If I forgot to say that, they will. They'll wipe them all out. Even Moses and Elijah will both die. But what will scare the world to death is they will raise again. Brother Bram talks of six raptures. Let me just talk about this for a minute. The first rapture was back there with Elijah. Elijah was standing there. The chariot came down and picked him up, took him up to heaven. I feel like I'm going to forget one, but you just forgive me now. I know he said there were six. That was the first one. Enoch. Enoch was the first one. Back there, and before the flood came, Enoch was translated that he wouldn't see death. Then Elijah came and he was resurrected. Then the Old Testament saints came up with Jesus and he said they saw him everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then they went up with him.
Right.
The New Testament actually go after that. When Jesus came back, remember he was there for 50 days. And at the end of it, remember Jesus descended up and they were staring at him and the angel said, the same Jesus that you've seen go up will come the same way again. What is that same way again? It's the bride of Christ on this day will do exactly what Christ did when he was resurrected. He resurrected and raptured up. The church in this day will be raptured. That's the first one in the New Testament. The next one will be, Jesus was the first one in the New Testament. We are the second one. Then the last rapture will be those two witnesses over there in the tribulation period. Could you imagine if you saw two men that wreaked havoc on the whole world and finally they're dead. And they don't even bury them. They leave them lay there. 3.5 days, right before they're going to start corrupting. Remember, it takes about 3 or 4 days, and then you start corrupting. Then they both stand back up. What do you think is going to happen to those people? They're going to know, we're done. And that's why you start reading that seal. What do they say? Rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Look, this Jesus that you will see, if you ain't seeing Jesus now, the Jesus you will see will not be who you think he is. He will have, like he did in the book of Revelation, said, hair like white as wool, eyes of fire, feet of brass. The girt, he'll be the judge of the earth. That's who you're going to see if you reject Christ in this age. You will not see the loving hands of the Savior that's reaching out to grab you. But aren't you grateful you've already accepted?
Amen.
You're not waiting on that. You're getting into Christ now. We're checking up now, church. Like we said, we're reading these things to make sure we know we're not going to be there. I'm not trying to scare you into the tribulation. I'm trying to make sure we scare out of it.
Amen.
And we ain't moved by fear. We're moved by the love of God that keeps us in godly fear. Saying, God, I know these wicked things have to happen. I know you can't stand sin. Take it out of me. And just to finish that, we just went through the first five seals. If you skip over real quick here to Matthew 24:29. I'll just finish out here. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Do you remember that? In Revelations when we read it in the seal. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth mourn. What tribes? The tribes of Israel will be mourning at this time. Because like we said, they know what they did. And the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Remember what he said in the promise for the rapture? It was not every eye shall see him. He said he'll come as a thief in the night. So when this coming of the Lord that we're expecting to come any day now, I believe that I am. I hope you are as well.
Amen.
He is coming at any moment. There's nothing waiting on it besides us being ready. Or some soul that we don't know yet that ain't ready yet. He will come as a thief in the night. The world will know nothing about the rapture.
Right.
Nothing. There'll be a couple people that watch the bride go. That'll be it. And they'll think they're just crazy. They'll just miss them in no time. There's enough crazies out there right now. Why wouldn't you do it?
Right.
Let's stand together this morning. We're looking for the coming of the Lord right now. I don't want to see him over there in the judgment. I don't want to have nothing to do with this sixth seal coming to pass on this earth. I want to be gone.
And I believe that you do too as well. Let's bow our heads together saying, Lord, this morning, Lord, if there's anything in us, any wickedness, anything that's hindering any part of my life, take it far from me this morning. As the book of Jude said, to some pluck out of the fire, saving from the wrath to come. And that's why we bring these things. I want you to be able to answer questions when people ask what's going to happen next. You should be able to answer what's going to happen next. Why? We're not under a man anointing. We're under the eagle. We know tomorrow's news before it's going to get here.
Amen.
As we bow in His presence, if you have a need this morning, if there's any little doubt, any little fear, Satan might have just gave it to you this morning. Just listen to that. Look, I ain't here to put you in that, and neither does God want you to be part of this. He wants you in the rapture. And if there's any little doubt, you say, Lord, I don't know if I'm living where I ought to be. I'm not living the life of Christ like it should be. Just take it far from me, Lord. I want to be a real Christian. If that's you, you can raise your hands to Him. I believe He'll hear your prayer this morning.
Yes, Lord. How we love you, Lord Jesus.
Look, church, we can go to Calvary every day we need to. God wants us there. He wants us under the blood every minute of every day. You pray your own way, I'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we know it's a very humbling thing to study these things, to know that destruction's coming upon this earth. Lord, we're grateful to know that you gave us a way out. And I pray that every soul here, they would receive that way out. You said it's straight and it's narrow and there's only a few that will find it. But Lord, if it's going to be one, let it be me. If it's going to be one, let it be you. Just have that perfect faith now that Christ didn't die just for the sins of the world, but He died for your sin. He died for my sin. And we accept it this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being so good, so merciful for us. Lord, knowing that you could have came years ago and it wouldn't disrupted your word one bit, but you waited on us because you loved us. Lord, we don't want to turn down that love this morning. Lord, if there's any of us that need a refilling of the Holy Ghost or even being filled the first time, sealed away into the kingdom of God, I pray that they receive it by faith this morning. If there's anyone here that hasn't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon confession of their sins, I pray they'd hit the water before it's too late. Lord, once you step off that throne, it's over. And I pray that everyone here will be ready at that hour. We commend ourselves to you afresh, saying, Lord, help us to be real Christians, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's sing together. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, make me more like Thee.